Shabbat Shalom. This week we have a double parasha with parashas Tazriah and Metzorah, which translate to she bears seed and infected one. Parasha Tazriah covers Leviticus 12:1 through 13:59, and parasha Metzorah covers 14:1 through 15:33. These parashas talk about the importance of ritual cleanliness from a variety of different sources of uncleanliness. Now, this is a fun parasha. I'll be sparing you with some of the details today because we're going to be talking about a variety of interesting topics. We begin with Leviticus 12, which details required rituals for a mother to become ceremonially clean after giving birth to a child. If the child was a boy, the mother was considered ceremonially unclean for 40 days and 80 days for a girl. After this time had passed, they were required to offer a burnt offering and a sin offering. Now, it's important to understand when reading this chapter that being ceremonially unclean does not always mean you are in a state of sin in the sense of you've done something wrong. Just because a sin offering was required does not mean that childbirth is somehow sinful. Sin offerings were required for ritual cleansing related to diseases and even as part of the Nazirite oath. So sin offerings are used for a variety of purposes. So while these requirements may seem strange to us today, they were commands by the Lord and were part of the life of our people for our benefit. They may have existed to allow time for a mother to bond with her child or as a reminder of the cycle of sin that is passed on to every human being. But regardless of the reason, it is enough that they were commands of the Lord, so we were to diligently follow them. Now, Leviticus 13 continues the discussion of cleanliness with comments about skin growths and infections. They are called leprosy in this chapter, but represent more than Hansen's disease, medical leprosy. I'll spare you the specific details this morning, since we have an oneg in a couple hours. But this chapter emphasizes the importance of seeing a priest to be inspected. A person who was infected was also commanded to remove themselves from others, wait to see if their condition was healed, and then be re-examined by the priest to confirm the healing. If the infection did not dissipate or had spread further, they were to be publicly identified as unclean and had to live away from everyone else, with healthy individuals giving them space when encountered in public. Now, this can seem incredibly harsh or somehow a form of shaming, but was necessary to stop the spread of deadly diseases. Today, in hospitals and in other places, we have a process of quarantine. We isolate highly infectious individuals from others to protect our communities. Through the Lord's commandments, we could see this process in place thousands of years before germ theory was discovered. Now, Leviticus 14 continues the discussion of infections in chapter 13 with the requirements for becoming cleansed after a disease had passed. Once again, we read that a priest is the only one who could determine that a healing had taken place by the Lord. After the healing had been confirmed, sacrifices were required, along with all the hair on the previously infected person being shaved off. It even goes so specific to say your eyebrows need to be shaved off. They were then required to wait an additional 8 days before going into their tent after the final sacrifices were given for their healing. Now, the second half of Leviticus 14 discusses tents or houses that have become leprous. They have become infected with mold or mildew. Again, a priest is required to inspect the home to determine that there is leprosy present. The home is then stripped and repaired where the mold has been found. Now, if the priest, after the repairs have been done to the home, does not find any further mold or mildew at a later visit, the home is declared cleansed, but if the mold comes back, the house will then be destroyed and rebuilt. Now, our second parasha ends in Leviticus 15, which details the sacrifices and period of time necessary to be declared clean after sexual emissions have occurred. Now, while we are not required to follow the purification commands outlined in Parashas Tazriah and Metzorah, there are still important lessons to be found in them for us today. These chapters represent real aspects of human life, and though they may be topics that when we talk about them we may find distasteful or not for polite company, they are important aspects in everybody's lives. The discussion on leprosy is one of the most specific and lengthy rituals outlined in the Torah. Leprosy being identified and healed is very important because leprosy is a recurring theme throughout the Old Covenant and New Covenant writings. The healing of leprosy is used as one of the signs for Pharaoh to demonstrate the Lord's power and authority. It is a constant prayer of God's people that they will not be infected with leprosy. It also serves as the punishment in 2 Chronicles when King Uzziah attempts to sinfully offer incense to the Lord. So leprosy is tied to sin and represents the consequences of personal sin as well as just life in a fallen, sinful world. We can see in the parasha that the priest is able to identify when leprosy has manifested, but is unable to heal a person of it. Only God can heal a person of leprosy, and the priest's role is to observe this blessing has taken place and to help that person offer sacrifices, thanking God for this blessing. In the New Testament, we see that Messiah Yeshua's public ministry is tied to the healing of diseases like leprosy. When the disciples of John the Baptist ask Yeshua if he is truly the promised Messiah, he tells them to report to John what they have seen, including people being healed of leprosy. There are several accounts in the Gospels of Yeshua healing people with leprosy, but one that stands out is found in Luke 17. In this account, as Yeshua was traveling along the border between Samaria and Galilee, 10 men with leprosy met him. As was required, they stood away from Yeshua, but asked him to show them mercy. Yeshua told them to go and see the priests, as was required, and as they literally walked by faith, they were cleansed. On their way at some point, they were cleansed. But it was only one of the 10, a despised Samaritan, who returned to Yeshua and gave him thanks. Yeshua asked where the other 9 are, rhetorically, knowing where they fully where they are, and comments that only this foreigner, a Samaritan, has returned to praise God. Yeshua tells him to rise and leave because his faith has made him well. Our parashas this week challenge us to walk by faith to experience the blessings of being washed, clean, and healed by Adonai. No human being can completely accomplish this, only the Lord. In our day, this is done by having real faith through the Lord's help in Messiah Yeshua. A question to ask is if we are praising the Lord for the cleansing and blessings he has provided, or have we, like the majority of the 9, forgotten him after receiving his blessings and healing? It's only the minority, the 1 of the 10, who comes back to praise the Lord. The majority receives their blessing and they go on their way. May the Lord enable each of us to be washed clean and be presentable before him through the blood of Messiah Yeshua. May we all give him the praise that he is due for all the ways he blesses and heals us throughout our lives in a sinful, fallen world. Thank you.